Well, good morning, beloved. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. To our visitors, your honored guests, please continue to stick around and let us get to know you. This Texas boy still can't get used to these allergens, so I apologize that I'm still dealing with them, but I know I'm not alone in dealing with allergies. I wanted to give a quick update. Janet Woodman, who I believe is maybe a little under the weather. Did I read that? No? Okay. She sent us a message. This is the woman that Mel and I had a study with over the phone while we were in North Carolina. She lives in Texas, and she continues to do well. She continues to grow as a Christian, and so we're thankful for that. Also, my wife and I would like to thank the congregation for the Christmas bonus. Know that this any funds that we do have extra are going to help to go toward the cost of fostering, adopting, the travel back and forth, and so we want to thank you for that. Before we begin our lesson, I really want to just wish everyone a Happy New Year. I pray that this new year for each and every one of you will be blessed, will be filled with joy, will be filled with renewed vigor to be faithful to the Lord, that we can move past problems, faults with one another, and just be dedicated. This morning, I want us to look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. And the idea behind this is Paul is going to be speaking to the church at Philippi about having that forward thinking. And not just thinking ahead, but moving ahead. Knowing the difficulties that lie behind, knowing where we are coming from, but also having a destination in mind. You know, it's amazing of the power of our attitudes and how our attitudes can affect the way that we see things, understand things, interpret things, and decide upon how to act. And so our attitudes play a very important part. And I do apologize, we will get back to the Christian graces. I kind of jumped the gun on beginning that series, but we should be back on schedule next week. But our attitudes, when it comes to spiritual growth, when it comes to understanding who we are, where we have come from, what we have overcome, and where we're going, where we hope to go. You know, here in Philippians chapter 3, we have some let us statements, and we'll pause when we get there. But I pray that our attitudes toward ourselves, toward each other, will only improve. You know, this congregation has faced some struggles. This congregation has missed some great opportunities. But yet, we have created others. And so I want us to learn from some past mistakes, learn from some past successes, and do not be content with the mundane status quo. Do not shoot for doing the exact same in the same way, but rather do it better. Seek greater results. Seek a greater yield. And so today I want to focus on forward thinking and how we should be united together in this pursuit. In order for us to have a successful forward thinking and what is required in moving forward is that we need to moving ahead requires an attitude of humility. Look what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You know, pride can be a dangerous thing. Proverbs 16 verse 18 tells us that pride goeth before the fall. And so we must not move ahead into this new year with any inkling of being prideful. And this is Paul speaking. Paul has the gift of the Holy Spirit. He can do miracles. He can pass on the miracles. He's been a disciple. He's been an apostle for quite a while now. And he's still saying, I'm not done. I have not arrived. You know, Paul is going to display an attitude of humility mixed with dissatisfaction. Now, that sounds weird. How can you be humble and yet dissatisfied? Look at what he's saying here. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. I've not arrived. I'm not perfect. I'm not complete. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now look at verse 12. Paul understands he does not have it all, but this is his attitude. But I press on. We see that he has humility, but we see that he has a desire to press on. And that word, to press on, comes from a Greek compound word, which means to follow after or pursue with a hostile toward the object, but you really want it. You need it. You're going to do everything in your power to catch it, to be able to use it, to make it your own. Now, Paul understands what he wants. Paul understands what he needs. And even though Paul is already in a saved condition, he wants to remain there. And in order for him to remain in that saved condition, he has to be moving. He knows that he cannot be complacent. He cannot settle for the mundane. He has to move forward. I'm not satisfied with my growth. I'm not satisfied with who I am because I know I can be better. And that is where I'm going. I'm going to be better. You know, we sing the song, I'm pressing on the upward way. To new heights, I'm gaining every day. To higher ground. Hank, forgive me, I know I butchered that, but that's the idea. Don't be content with where you are now. Grow. Continue to move on. You know, we need to see ourselves through a lens of truth. We need to know ourselves. So many people today don't know themselves. And here Paul is saying, I understand myself. I know who I am. I know where I have come from. I know where I need to be. I know what I need to work on. And so I'm going to be doing all this while moving forward. But also Paul displays humility with hope. Understand that Paul needs to achieve this. He understands what lies ahead. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. That word I may lay hold of, in the King James, it has apprehend. He knows that it is achievable. He knows that it is something that he wants. And what is this that Paul is speaking of? Is it salvation? Well, in a way, yes, and in a way, no. It is rather the means of obtaining and continuing to receive that salvation. Being that faithful Christian. Submitting himself to Christ. He wants to lay hold of that promise. Look at what 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Look at the determination. Do you not know Now those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Nobody crosses the finish line by just meandering down the track. No one crosses the finish line by standing on the side of the track and watching others run. No one crosses the finish line asking for those around him, "Oh, please carry me. I don't want to run." But here is the jewel of this verse. Look what he says there at the end. "That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Now, we can miss this in the English Bible. But this object, this prize, is achievable. And so we see here that Jesus humbled himself so that he could gain Paul. And now Paul can gain this prize, this goal, because he doesn't want to let Christ down. And he doesn't want to give up. And so what is beautiful is that we belong to Christ. Christ is holding us, and Christ is desirous of us to be successful. We're not out there just trying to run this race by ourselves, but Christ is right there next to us. But we also have each other. We also have each other running down this track. Moving forward also requires the proper perspective and ambition. You know, it's one thing to acknowledge that you need to grow, but to do nothing is a death sentence. And there are many things in this world that can allure us. We spoke about being entangled once again. But we need to have a perspective that is clear, that is not clouded by the things of this world, and we need to have correct and healthy and productive ambition. Because we can let the world tell us what to pursue. We can allow the world to tell us what we need to go after, what we should seek, what is good and what is holy. But woe to them who call evil good and good evil. Now, Paul's not going to sit back for accidental growth. Paul's not going to sit back and hope that he will accidentally cross the finish line. And consider Paul, how he wants to ensure his audience that an apostle of Jesus Christ, one who can do miracles, cannot sit back and do this. Look what he says. "Brethren," again, he reminds them, and he's connecting with them. "Brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now let's break this down and consider what he's saying. "But one thing I do." Now this is a significant statement. This is a singleness of mind. I have made my mind up. This is what I've determined to do. You know, we can have so many priorities. But where does God rank in that? Where does our spiritual journey rank in that? Is it something we do on the weekends? Is it something that we do as a hobby? Do we fit our spiritual walk and our life in with work, with school, with hobbies? Now, how important is it to us? But look at his determination. "One thing I do." What is this one thing that he does? Well, he breaks it up, and it's actually a progress. It's moving forward. forgetting those things which are behind. You know, again, this morning's Bible class, quite possibly those who were entangled once again were looking back. They allowed themselves to reminisce of the good times in their minds. But we need to forget those things. You know, Luke 9 and verse 27 tells us, Jesus says, that the person who places his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. You know, forgetting is difficult sometimes. Forgetting pain. Forgetting when we fail. Forgetting the hurt that someone might cause us. Forgetting accomplishments. Have you ever thought about needing to forget past accomplishments? Because in a way, we don't need to see that past accomplishment and have that carry us through and be satisfied. Oh, I made it. Look what I did. Look what I did 15 years ago. Look what I did 20 years ago. I'm still just chewing on that. I'm reminiscing of what I have accomplished. But what are you doing now? What are you doing now? Forget those things. Never stop moving forward. Because when you stop moving forward, you die. Whether or not you know it, we discussed those who they were bound and yet they were preaching a false doctrine of liberty. But they were just going to bring others into that bondage. You know, many things can occupy our minds. And as Brother Bill Wendover said, you know, many people create New Year's resolutions. A New Year's resolution, it's flawed. Why are we going to wait until some particular date to start something? Today is the day of salvation. Today, whatever day it is, that should be your new you resolution. To be better today than you were yesterday. Forget those things which lie ahead, or forget those things which are behind. Never forget what lies ahead. Never forget that promise. Never forget the words that we read of detailing that promise. Look what else he says. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The idea of reaching forward. If you're reaching, then that means you believe in it and you also believe that it is obtainable. You can almost taste it. You can almost feel it on the tips of your fingers. And you are so desirous to have it. And there's nothing wrong or unhealthy about pressing toward this that Paul is speaking of. Look what he says. I press toward the mark. Now, I normally preach out of the New King James, but New King James missed it here. You know, this word for mark oftentimes is translated as goal. And the problem with goal is everyone can kind of have their own goal in mind. Again, New Year's resolutions, my New Year goal. And a goal is hard to define, to cement into a visible picture. Now, yes, we have football goals, basketball goals, but I like the word mark. Because this word mark is definite. It's once and done. God has set the mark. God has set has drawn the line in the sand, and that is where we need to be going. We see it, we understand what it means, and we know how to get there. We know how to cross it. We know how to achieve it. No, Paul wants them to be focused, looking ahead, seeing an achievable mark in the distance. I know I need to be that person. I know that I need to be that kind of person that God wants me to be. And so I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How important is that? You know, do we pursue and do we see items of this world that we desire and we chase after them? How often are we chasing after the things that truly matter? The spiritual things. But also, in order for us, as God's people, as Paul is speaking to these Philippian brothers and sisters in Christ, look what he says, that moving ahead requires an attitude of unity. He says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Again, some beautiful let us statements. And if you think that you can be a lone wolf Christian, you're deceiving yourselves. One, you can't do it, and two, you shouldn't be doing it. But who's supposed to be promoting this idea of unity? This conducive environment for unity and moving forward, as many as are mature. Again, most translation says those who are perfect. But no one is perfect. No one is without fault. No one has arrived. But the word mature tells us that these are no longer babes in Christ. Remember how I told you that we need to be growing so that we can be teachers? The Hebrew writer tells us that. Paul wishes he could speak to the Corinthian church, but they were still babes needing milk. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. But those of us that are mature need to be helping one another. We need to be moving forward under the leadership of the mature. You know, I wish we had elders, but I'm so grateful for our men's meetings. How well they are performed, and how we don't just jump on the first thing that comes across the table. We reason together. That's important. But as many as are mature, have this mind. Again, this idea of have this mind comes up many times. But if anyone is going to be completely... Is anyone ever going to be perfect? Completely perfect? No. But the word mind or minded occurs 29 times in the New Testament. 26 of them, Paul writes. He tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2 to be like-minded. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we're told to have the mind of Christ. Again, our attitudes, our perspectives, our ambitions, it's all related. It all stems from one source, And this is so that they can be as effective as one body within the Lord's church. You know, our united front must be important to us. Look what he says in Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Envy, strife, personal gain, they have no place in the Lord's church. Forget those things. Cast them aside. Press toward the goal. Press toward the mark. And do together. You know, we need to be working together truthfully, purely. Philippians 1, verses 15 through 18 tells us to rejoice in truth. And no matter where you are in your journey, no matter where you are in your growth, there are expectations. Look what he says. "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained," whatever you have accomplished, whatever growth you have achieved, you need to keep going. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian so many years or you've accomplished this, you need to continue. And we need to continue doing it together. You know, we all became Christians the same way. We understand what Ephesians 4 and verse 5 says, that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. But we can't argue with Scripture. And what Paul is saying here, to whatever you have, whatever you may be lacking, look what he says. "Therefore, let us, as many of us are as mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God reveal this even to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind." God's word will never keep us in the dark. God will reveal this even to you. God's message will tell you what you need. And so when we see God's word and we understand that we need to be walking by the same rule, we need to be of the same mind, we need to see the things that are pure, that are holy, and agree on them. We cannot have our own situational ethics. You know, we were added to the one church, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, which is his body, Ephesians 1 and verse 23. And so now that we are together, if we abide in the Scriptures, we will have the same values, the same desires, the same goals. We will see the mark together. The last idea, be of the same mind. Let us mind the same things again. See what is good, what is holy, and agree upon it. "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained," no matter where you are in your growth, God's word is going to continue to reveal it. "Let us walk by the same rule, whether or not you understand it, whether or not you personally agree with it." You can't argue with Scripture. "But let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." We must move together with each other in mind and with God in mind if we have any hopes of crossing that finish line. As we move on into this new year, let us be one. Let us step up our game in growth. Let us step up our perspective of one another. see each other in a better light, see ourselves in a better light, but also be mindful of the mission of the church. We know what our mission is. We know why the church exists. Luke 1 and verse 17 says to make people ready for Christ's return. How are we going to make them ready if, one, they are a Christian and they haven't grown? How are they going to be ready if they're not a Christian? Luke 19 and verse 10 tells us that we need to be out there seeking and saving the lost, preaching the gospel. But where do we go from here this morning? Well, Romans 8 and verse 6 tells us that we need to be a people with a spiritual mindset. We need to be seeing spiritual things, considering spiritual things, preoccupied with spiritual things. But we need to also be growing, 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. Our goals this year: speak the truth in love. Just because it's truth doesn't mean that we get to slap it however we want down and to tell people the truth in whatever manner we want to tell them. Speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Be followers of God, Ephesians 5 and verse 1, and be conformed to His death. But how do we get there? How do we get to be the people of God? Well, and a very easy step is be a Philip. Philip had limited experience, limited knowledge, but he knew enough that people needed Jesus. And what did Philip do? He went and he grabbed someone. We have found the Messiah. Come quickly. You have to meet him. How eager are we to introduce people to God? Come, meet him. You need him. He's wonderful. Continue steadfast. Acts 2 and verse 42. Continue steadfast as a body of Christ. The Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't let anything in. They didn't allow anyone to beguile them. And the church in Galatia had to learn the hard way. Who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? But we need to understand that we can't do this together. Yes, we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to the doctrine of Christ. But we can't do it alone. An army, a Christian army, can only do so good if only the few are working. And the few need encouragement. But also, those that are not workers need encouragement too. And so they went from house to house, Acts 20 and verse 20. I pray that we continue to be the people of God, to encourage one another, to spend time with one another, reminding one another of what lies ahead, and helping one another to forget those things which are behind. Attitudes are the lenses we see and experience life. Ensure that you are seeing the world. Ensure that you are seeing yourself. Ensure that you are seeing the Word of God correctly. Because if any of those are out of focus, you quite possibly are in danger. And I pray that we will refocus our minds to be better, to grow beyond our wildest dreams in the Word and knowledge of God. If you're here this morning and something has been said and you would like to put Christ on in baptism, or you have questions, we are more than happy to answer them. If you're watching online, please send us a message to our email or through Messenger. But we want to be here for you. We want to be here for God. And so you've heard just a small portion of God's Word this morning. You need to believe that the gospel is the Word of God. You need to repent. Turning away from your way of life, turning away from your hobbies, your habits, your former conduct, and forgetting them, and moving ahead, reaching forward toward the mark. You need to confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came and established His church. That's what He told Peter. Upon this confession, I will build my church. Be baptized. Mark 16:16. The Hebrew writer tells us that baptism, an antitype which now doth save, baptism. Baptism saves us. And then remain faithful. Remain faithful even if it causes your death. But maybe you've done all these things, and this is just put up here in an expedient manner. Is there more involved in this? Absolutely. But maybe you've put on Christ, and maybe you've been struggling as a Christian. Don't make a New Year's resolution. Make a new you resolution. A new Christian resolution. If anyone has any need this morning, please come forward as we stand united and as we sing. Jesus is standing in part of all.